WSHU, the station you know, trust, and count on, is more relevant than ever. I'm Randy Kay, All Things Considered host. Your support makes it possible for us to deliver what you need, exactly when you need it, wherever you are. With your help, we tell the stories that matter, connecting the facts and uncovering the truths that keep you informed. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
The Connecticut House has approved a revised version of a controversial affordable housing bill that was vetoed by Governor Lamont in June. It passed during a special session yesterday. Jason Rojas is the House Democratic Majority Leader, and he says the bill is a compromise with mayors and first selectmen who'd been concerned it would override local zoning.
The bill doesn't take away local control. It actually supports local control. Their chief elected officials are going to be at the table informing what a regional housing plan is going to look like and certainly what their local plans are going to look like.
Republicans and a handful of Democrats had opposed the bill. The House also approved a bill that authorizes UConn to purchase Waterbury Hospital and another that uses $500 million in state surplus money to backstop federal cuts to social safety net programs. This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. A short-term spending bill passed in Congress last night gets mixed support from our region's lawmakers. One of Long Island's oldest farms took on serious damage in a fire yesterday. The cop charged in the Randy Cox paralysis case will not serve prison time. Plus, an effort in New York to make therapeutic use of cannabis more accessible. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. The U.S. House of Representatives last night passed the short-term spending bill needed to reopen the government. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports the bill had mixed support from our region's lawmakers.
The bill to fund the government through January had no support from the five Democratic members of Connecticut's House delegation. U.S. Representative Rosa DeLauro is the dean of the delegation and the ranking member of the House Appropriations Committee.
You cannot expect Democrats to go along with any bipartisan funding deal if that agreement can be undone with a party line vote.
The bill was supported by Republicans Nick LaLota and Andrew Garbarino and Democrat Tom Suozzi on Long Island, but not by Democrat Laura Gillen. Mike Lawler, a Republican from Westchester County, also voted in support and had this message for Democrats.
You should all be ashamed of yourselves for inflicting this pain on the American people, taking away food stamps from 42 million Americans, defunding WIC, not paying our troops, our federal employees, our air traffic controllers.
The next government funding deadline is January 30th. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul is on the lookout for a running mate. The New York Public News Network's John Campbell has this report.
Hochul needs someone to run alongside her next year since current Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado is now running against her. Four sources with knowledge of the search say she's honing in on a handful of candidates from New York City. Among them is State Assemblymember Brian Cunningham of Brooklyn, who says he's interested.
If the governor offered an opportunity to serve with her as her lieutenant governor, it's certainly something that I would accept, something I would do. But ultimately, in the day, the governor has to make that decision.
Among the others under consideration are Brooklyn DA Eric Gonzalez and a pair of former assembly members, Robert Rodriguez and Walter Mosley, both of whom now serve in Hochul's administration. In Albany, I'm John Campbell for the New York Public News Network.
And Hochul's campaign declined to comment. A barn caught fire in Riverhead yesterday, leaving three people hospitalized and damaging one of Long Island's oldest farms. WSHU's Aiden Stang has more.
Around 5 p.m. Wednesday, multiple fire departments responded to the site of a barn fire at Riverhead's Wells Farm. Officials say one police officer and two civilians were hospitalized from smoke inhalation. Two pigs and 15 chickens also perished from the fire. Firefighters spent 3.5 hours putting out the flames. That included a burning diesel tank. Fire officials say their investigation is ongoing, but the cause of the fire is still unknown. The farm has been in operation since 1661, making it Riverhead's oldest, and the 300-acre property is Long Island's largest asparagus producer. Aiden Stang, WSHU News.
New York's top cannabis doctor shares how the state is working to make the medical benefits of marijuana more accessible to patients. That conversation is coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
I'm Suzanne Bona. I really loved my very first brand new car, which was a stick shift Nissan Sentra, completely stripped down because that's all I could afford on my public radio paycheck. But it was a wonderful car, it had that new car smell, so that was really kind of fun. I loved that that Nissan Sentra was mine. To donate your car to WSHU Public Radio, just go to WSHU.org.
The State University of New York will offer tuition assistance for active duty members of the U.S. military, including the National Guard and Reserves. It'll start at select campuses in the spring of 2026 and be available to all SUNY campuses, including Stony Brook, in the fall. New York State is putting off a plan to ban natural gas and other fossil fuels from most new homes and buildings. The plan was set to go into place on January 1st. Critics said it would make new housing more expensive. Connecticut AFL-CIO President Ed Hawthorne has been reelected to a second term. He ran unopposed, but three unions representing about 11,000 people left the coalition amid the election. The state AFL-CIO represents about 240,000 workers overall. A Bristol-based manufacturer is closing and laying off its workforce. Metallics Incorporated makes fasteners and anchors. They're letting go 33 people between now and next September. A New Haven police officer will not serve prison time for a 2022 incident that left a man paralyzed. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
Ronald Presley, one of five New Haven police officers charged in the case, got a 60-day suspended sentence and a six-month conditional discharge. The other four officers in the case have pending cases for reckless endangerment and cruelty. It stems from a 2022 arrest of a man named Randy Cox for having a handgun at a party. Police were driving Cox to jail in a van. The van made a sudden stop to avoid an accident, and Cox was thrown, injured, and left paralyzed. Cox settled a lawsuit with the city for $45 million in 2023. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
This month, New York State cannabis regulators convened a symposium on Long Island to discuss the medical benefits of marijuana. Dr. June Chin is chief medical officer for the State Office of Cannabis Management. She spoke to David Lombardo of the New York Public News Network about making therapeutic use of cannabis more accessible.
Unlike the state's recreational marijuana program, which is largely self-guided, the medical marijuana program is clinically overseen by certified healthcare providers. So, do we have enough of those providers out there so that patients can get that guided, sort of tailored insights the same way you might with your personal healthcare provider and traditional medicine?
Well, as there's access increasing from the adult use market, patients and consumers are needing and wanting more guidance. So we're not debating whether or not cannabis has medicinal or therapeutic value. We're really focused on bringing more clinicians into the fold, you know, telling patients how to use it safely and what the data tells us. So bringing in these conversations in hospital systems, researchers, pharmacists, we're really making sure that anecdotes become real world data. So we want to bring in more clinicians. I think clinicians want that training, that CME education. Again, with Northwell partnering with us, it really shows that there is a shift from curiosity to commitment. Medical cannabis is moving into mainstream healthcare. It is supported by evidence and research. So we want clinicians to be able to ask their patients during the visits, are you using plant-based medicine? Are you using cannabis medicine? It might not be through the medical program in New York yet. If they're using adult use through those adult use dispensaries, we want to have that conversation in the clinic.
Well, how many certified providers are there in New York now? And is there a number that you think makes sense with the number of registered patients, which I think at last count hovered a little below 100,000?
I'm not really concerned about the number of providers per se. I really want to make sure that it is part of the conversation in the clinic. Even if you go to your pediatrician, for example, the pediatrician should talk about it with the family, making sure there's safe storage. If anyone's using, you know, cannabis at home, medical cannabis at home, are you putting it away? Don't leave it on the dresser. Don't leave it on the nightstand. It's not the number of certifying practitioners that's important to me. It's the conversation that's happening in the clinics.
Why doesn't that number matter? Because it seems like if you have a dearth of certified providers, then people will have a tough time getting access to knowledgeable people. But if you have an abundance of them, then people can turn to a wider range of, you know, certified professionals to get that insight.
That's a good point. But if your rheumatologist might not feel comfortable, or your primary care doctor might not feel comfortable, you know, certifying a patient or giving a recommendation, for example, within the healthcare system, you know, there might, so for Northwell, for example, we might be able to refer you to a neurologist inside the Northwell, or a geriatrician, or an oncologist. So having it in the ecosystem, having it during grand rounds as a discussion, having it during the journal club, going through case studies with your colleagues, that's more important to me than just the number of certifying practitioners. I think once the conversation gets up and going in the ecosystem of a hospital and a healthcare clinic, more providers will become certified, as well as continuing medical education. I think it's very important that this becomes incorporated into residencies, into medical schools, so we're not just looking at it as an afterthought.
That was David Lombardo of the New York Public News Network with Dr. June Chin at the State Office of Cannabis Management. For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with our free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. Hunger touches every community, and so does generosity. Find local food drives, pantries, and meal programs on WSHU's new Community Food Resources page. Whether you'd like to give support or you need it yourself, everything is in one place at WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.